Well, good morning. About 6 weeks ago, I hopped in the car after the end of our legislative session and hit the road. Started driving around Iowa, asking people, what's going on in your family? What are you talking about around your kitchen table? What is that kitchen table conversation that's going on? Because I believe if Republicans are going to be successful, and I believe that we can be, Republicans are going to win back Terrace Hill, win back the legislature, win back seats in Congress. We have to talk to Iowans about the issues that are most important to them right now. We have to talk to them in ways that they're listening, modes that they're listening to, and in a way that they can relate to. As I've been out across the state, about 14,000 miles so far in the last few weeks, it's a big state. It's one thing you discover as you take on this challenge about running. It's a very big state, from Rock Rapids to Muscatine. It's a very large state. But as I started talking to folks about what is it that you're talking about around your kitchen table, the thing I kept hearing over and over again is the fact that they're nervous about their jobs. Can't blame them. We've got 96,000 Iowans that are out of work today. With 96,000 Iowans out of work today, that means we all probably know somebody, or we know somebody that knows somebody. And they're nervous about that. Even those folks that have their jobs today are nervous about what's coming down the road. They see stories about layoffs. When you have large Iowa standard names like John Deere or Principal that are laying off folks, you've got small companies that are going under across the state. They're nervous about, are we next? And I can understand that. I can relate to that nervousness. Now, back in the 1990s, I worked for a company called Betts Baking Company in Sioux City. And like a lot of companies, we went through our own set of challenges. We went through our own set of restructuring and responding to market conditions. And we went through our own set of layoffs. I was fortunate. Never happened to be me. I did our environmental compliance work. I'm the guy who went around and pulled underground storage tanks and got clean air permits and stormwater permits and things like that. We had 21 bakeries in 18 states, and it was during that process I learned just exactly why we like doing business in some states and why we didn't like doing business very much in other states. And I understand the anxiety that comes with that. And there's a lot of anxiety out there among Iowans about our economy and our future, whether or not they're going to have jobs in the future, whether or not their kids are going to have jobs in the future. And that's why I believe that we have to have a governor that puts A, economic development at the top of their agenda, and B, runs a campaign that lays out an agenda that is about creating jobs in our state. Not just trying to bring out-of-state jobs to Iowa, but we ought to set as a goal for this state that Iowa becomes one of the top 10 states in the nation to operate a business. Now that's a lofty goal. Understand that today, we rank 49th. We rank 49th in the nation for a place to start a new business. We ought to set our goal to be in the top 10. But you can't be in the top 10 as a place to start a new business if you're also in the top 10 in property taxes. We rank third. Iowa ranks third in terms of property taxes. And folks, I'm here to tell you that that is a job killer. We understand in Sioux City, we live in a very hyper-competitive environment, but it's no different in Sioux City than the folks that are living in Davenport or in Muscatine or in Clinton or Dubuque or Council Bluffs. We live in a hyper-competitive environment along our borders. We understand that income taxes make a difference. It was one thing when Iowa was worse than South Dakota or Iowa was worse than Illinois for our income taxes. But now that we're worse than Illinois or we're worse than Nebraska or South Dakota in property taxes, folks, it's like pulling the plug on the drain. Everything's going to go gushing out. We have to have a plan to not only create jobs in the state, but we have to have a plan to lower our property taxes. And let me make you a suggestion on what the next governor ought to do. We know that an economic recovery is coming at some point in time. Our economy is cyclical. The question is, what will we do when we have that economic recovery? Will we take those additional dollars that come in and plow it into growing government again, refilling all the programs that have been cut in the last year? Or I would suggest to you that the next governor ought to plan for that day now and ought to set up a property tax reduction account. so that new dollars that come into the state government, rather than being squabbled over at the time about how you want to spend that money on this program or for that employee, that those dollars first go into reducing property taxes in Iowa. And if we do that well, we'll be well on our way to dealing with making Iowa one of the top 10 states to grow a business in. There are a lot of other little things that we need to do. Let's face it, we have a governor that hasn't paid very much attention to economic development. We've got a governor right now that, frankly, as Senator Bain said, has been pursuing job-killing initiatives. On the day that Siemens Manufacturing announced that 400 jobs that should have gone to Western Iowa were in fact going to Hutchinson, Kansas, on that day, our governor stood before the microphones on the steps of the Capitol, and he said, next year, I want to repeal right to work, I want to eliminate federal deductibility, pass prevailing wage, and he went on down the laundry list of those sort of job-killing initiatives. Ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you, the governor of Kansas was not saying the same things on that day. The governor of Kansas was welcoming those 400 jobs into their state. We have to have a governor that on day one says, right to work goes back on every scrap of paper that comes out of our Department of Economic Development, because that's about how we grow jobs in Iowa. We have to have a governor that every day gets up and thinks about, how do I sell Iowa? How do we help that small business get larger? How do we try to make Iowa a more enticing place for businesses to come and grow? As I said before, I've got a firsthand experience with that, having been in that regulatory environment where you've got to deal with EPAs and Departments of Natural Resources and others and make that decision about, is that a place where we want to do business, or is that someplace we want to stay away from? One of the other conversations that I hear going on around kitchen tables across this state, people are concerned about their kids. You know, parents sitting around helping their kids with homework at night, wondering, are they getting the kind of education that they need to be successful? Because they're not just competing with the other kids in Minnesota or South Dakota or Illinois. They're competing with the kids from China and India. I mean, that is the global economy that we live in today. Trudy and I have that conversation when we sit down and look at Kate and Grace's homework. You know, I got to admit, I'm blessed. I've got two great daughters. Grace is she's a fantastic student. She'll be just fine no matter what happens. You know, she wants to become a doctor someday, which probably means, I guess, the University of Iowa. Her dad keeps telling her we need more engineers in this world, thinking Iowa State. So we'll sort that problem out at some point in time down the road. But today, either way, you know, dad probably loses because she'll be going someplace else after she gets that degree. My daughter Kate's a little different story. Kate's a good kid. She works very hard, and she will meet whatever standards we set out for her. She will work hard to meet those expectations. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, in this state, we set the expectations for Catherine down here. Her mom and dad think we ought to set the expectations up here. We have a governor today that actually lowered standards in Iowa, first time ever. Now, General Timison will remember this debate very, very well. A couple years ago, we raised standards for our kids in Iowa. And under Governor Culver, for the first time ever, we lowered standards for our kids. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be the governor that raises standards. Today, our children in fourth grade and in eighth grade, in math and reading, score worse than the kids in New Jersey. New Jersey. That's one thing if we were scoring worse than the kids in Minnesota, but we're scoring worse than the kids in New Jersey. That is not how we get our kids ready for school. That is not how we get them ready for the world workforce that they're going to have to enter. If we have a governor that can raise standards for student athletes, we can have a governor that raises standards for all of our students. And that's something that I truly believe needs to happen for our kids to be successful. One of the things I hear about from Iowans as they talk around that kitchen table is they're worried about who's going to foot the bill. We're all turning on the television at night. We're all seeing massive debts being piled up. You know, the debt that this governor and the Iowa legislature has amassed in the last year, my children will have children before that debt is paid off. I want to be the governor that reduces the size of state government spending. Now, Republicans had a track record for that. We actually reduced the size of state government. We kept our taxes in check. And I want to be the guy who posts up my record as Speaker of the House against Chet Culver's record. Because my 4 years as Speaker of the House, we balanced our budgets. B, we cut taxes. And C, we didn't take on more debt. It can be done. It can be done. You know, this next year we're going to enter into a fiscal crisis, and it will be a crisis the likes of which this state hasn't seen. We will start out opening day, day one, with a $1 billion hole in our budget. And my expectation is we won't get a budget recommendation from this governor until almost the end of the legislative session. First day in office, we can submit a budget that is balanced and spends less money than what Chuck Culver does on day one. Granted, that's not a difficult thing to do. Okay, I'm sure any one of us can do that. It's not a difficult thing to do given the fact that this governor has taken $1 billion in federal money and spent it all, including $200,000 in operating the governor's office. I'm not really sure why we need federal stimulus money to operate the governor's office, but that's the direction your state is headed in right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to grow our economy, if we're going to address the issue of property taxes, if we're going to try to leave a better Iowa for our children, it starts by reining in the size and the scope of your state government. You're spending too much. We are spending too much. It's more money than you can afford. And we have to lead by example. People talk all the time about cities and counties. The fact of the matter is your state government keeps asking them to do more, whether or not the locals want them to. And the state government keeps setting the example by spending more, whether or not the taxpayers of Iowa want them to or not. Now, it was interesting that the other night we had Governor Haley Barbour in Iowa, and he talked a little bit about party building. I thought he said something interesting. You know, that party building is about addition and multiplication. It's not about subtraction or division. And there are some folks in Des Moines who are about division and trying to say that our party can't appeal to both social conservatives and fiscal conservatives, as if somehow it is mutually exclusive. Folks, it doesn't have to be. Our party is a party that, if we are going to be successful, appeals to fiscal conservatives, people who are interested in balanced budgets and tax cuts. And we are a party that appeals to social conservatives that care about the marriage amendment or care about the right to life. If we are going to be a party that is successful, we have to be about embracing both of those concepts. I mean, that is our history as a party. Now, Bob and I were talking last week. We were comparing books that we've read on Abraham Lincoln. And Bob was talking about the team of rivals or the cabinet of rivals. And I just finished a book about called A. Lincoln, A. Period Lincoln. And in that book, it talks a lot about the birth of our party and the struggle that was going on at that day. You know, how did the Republican Party come together? Because the social movement at that time was the abolitionist movement. But there were also other concerns that were going on as the new party was being put together, be it transportation, be it roads, be it rivers, be it budgets, be it expansion in the West. And we had a nominee that was able to build a party by bringing people together and not dividing them apart. And that's why I think he was so successful. I would suggest to you folks that if we are going to be successful as a party, we need a nominee that can bridge both gaps. So I want to share with you just a little bit of my resume. You know, as Speaker of the House, I am the person who brought forward the constitutional amendment on marriage. When I was majority leader, I'm the one who helped put it in the code. And last year, when the ball was tossed to me after the Supreme Court ruling came down, I'm the one who ran with it. But I'm also the guy, thank you, I'm also the guy who's probably better known for running the 10% across the board income tax reduction. I'm also the guy who's stared down Governor Vilsack, that was during his tenure when I was Speaker, stared down Governor Vilsack on the issue of size and scope of state spending. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a Republican that has my feet planted squarely in both camps of our party. And I believe that that's what the next nominee is going to have, is to be able to talk with Iowans about how we bring our party together and how we offer a better alternative. Because it is about having positive ideas for the future and not being the party of no. It is about being able to say, these are the kinds of policies we're going to be able to put into place. So I very much thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I think this is a great idea to have all candidates or folks that are thinking about running getting together. And we ought to do it more often. We ought to not do it just in Sac County. We ought to do it in Buena Vista County. so they don't have to drive down from Storm Lake for these meetings, or in Ida County, and in Muscatine, and in Wapello, and in every other opportunity. I know we all appreciate the opportunity to speak with Republicans, especially on an early Saturday morning so far out from the election. So thank you very much. I'll be around after it's done, and happy to answer any questions you have at that time.